This is Power Lunch, exclusively on Lightning Power Play via the iHeartRadio app.
I think we always say good teams find ways to win, so you're constantly having to do that. But, you know, you never want to be down. You never want to be having to claw your way back. But, you know, the good thing about our team is we have a lot of faith in one another that, you know, we're never necessarily out of it. We just know that, you know, if we stick to the structure, stick to the game plan, up our intensity, anything can happen. So we've been doing that. We showed a little bit of resiliency on this road trip so far, but, you know, we want to try to put a full 60 together instead.
There's no question. It has been a long road trip, but it's been a very successful one. That was Tyler Johnson, who's had a little bit of a resurgence recently with his play. John Cooper mixing up the lines recently, and Johnson, I think the Lightning are hoping, benefits from that long term this year. And it comes to an end tonight, meaning the road trip, not Tyler Johnson's good play against the Red Wings. And then, of course, Tampa Bay will be back at home, where they can raise the banner in front of a bigger than expected crowd than what we anticipated maybe to start the season. But you can listen to all that action right here on Lightning Power Play. It is Power Lunch. I am Greg Linelli, along with the radio voice of the Tampa Bay Lightning, Dave Mishkin. Steve Versnick producing. We've got a big show planned for you today, coming up in about 15 minutes. Chris Johnston from Sportsnet, he broke the story when it came to ESPN and the NHL coming to an agreement that was announced yesterday. That deal is for 7 years. It's going to start next year. We're asking you that question on Twitter. Do you like the move? Do you think that's good for the NHL and for ESPN? We're also asking you about the recent line combinations that John Cooper has used. We'll get into that as well. And, of course, taking your tweets at Bolts Radio as the Lightning gets set to take on the Red Wings tonight. And another opportunity for the Lightning to put some points together. Elliot Friedman had his 31 Thoughts column the other day and had an interesting thing in there about MVP voting.
Dave, oh, really? Actually, I did read that. Now
did you
that
read
you
it?
Mentioned that, yes. And your boy was in there. I shouldn't say your boy.
My boy.
But
my
our boy. Our boy. Main man. He was in there, but so were a lot
he
of
was
other
a,
names.
Yeah, there is. So I thought it was always interesting, and maybe it's at least getting some attention.
He
that
went.
We'll touch on
he
that
went alphabetically.
Well. He did.
So at first, when I read it, he said, "Boy, he put Vasilevsky last." I'm like, "Okay, this is alphabetical."
Good catch by you. Good catch by you. And we'll talk about that throughout. But I think, Dave, you know, one of the things a lot of people who follow hockey want to know moving forward is, what is the national coverage going to look like for this game to maybe grow more than where it is right now? And there had been some talk that, you know, maybe ESPN would step to the forefront. Of course, this was a network that last had hockey back in, what, 2004.
Yeah, the Tampa Bay Lightning. I guess it was an ABC broadcast, but ABC is connected with ESPN. And the final game on that network, extended network, was Game 7 of the 2004 Stanley Cup Final. Lightning 2,
and
Flames 1.
It's a big agreement, for sure. I think it benefits both entities. Money always talks, as you and I have discussed before, I think, in anything. And I think the National Hockey League needed ESPN and the Walt Disney Company just as much as they needed more programming. And so it sounds like it was a fit made for both parties. It sounds like there could be other deals down the road. And from what I took regarding this agreement, Dave, and obviously I want to get your thoughts on it in general. We'll talk to Chris about this coming up as well and see if he can give us some more details. But the way we watch our favorite sports, we watch our favorite shows, the way the cable packages are today, streaming has become a bigger part of people's viewing. And what I took from this agreement, amongst other things, was that there is a real push here from that aspect to stream a lot of these games, and hopefully more people will have access to more games down the road than what they previously had before. So I think from that standpoint, it has the potential to reach more people. We'll talk to Chris about that. But I think all in all, everybody's pretty happy with this deal.
And Chris has had a busy and noteworthy week, because not only was he on top of that ESPN story before it was announced, He also was the reporter to break the adjustments to the draft lottery, which the Lightning have not been involved in that, but what, once in the last, going back to 2013, the 1 year they missed the playoffs, 16-17, and I think at that point they weren't even eligible. Maybe they were eligible. They've changed the thing so many times over the years, Greg. At one point, you can only move up four spots.
Yeah.
When the Lightning were drafting Stamkos and Hedman, and Jonathan Drouin too, the 2013 year they picked third. I think at that point, the most you could move up was four spots. So you could go from fifth to first, but if you were in the sixth spot, you can only move up to second. Then they changed it, and they kind of opened it up. Your odds were very, very long, but you could be the best team to miss the playoffs, whatever you were, ranked right below the playoff cut line. You could move all the way to number one. Your odds were slim, but you could move all the way up. And then they changed it so that the top three picks were all lottery picks. And that's the way it's been certainly last year and the last couple of years. And now they're making another change. I think they're trying to figure out a way to keep some intrigue, so you want a lottery, but you also don't want to reward, if that's the right word, teams. You don't want to reward teams for tanking, certainly, which is another reason why the lottery is there. And we can have a discussion as to whether you actually believe teams do tank. I think if you talk to former players, they will say basically to a man that there's no player that ever goes out there and tries to lose. But there have been teams that have definitely lost a lot down the stretch, and it has helped their position in vis-a-vis getting the number one overall pick. Fair enough. But on the other side of the coin, you know, you don't want a team that fills in on that like 11 or 12 slot,
right,
and a couple of years in a row gets to pick first, right? So they've made some adjustments there. Chris was on top of that, and we're going to talk to him about his upcoming marathon. He's raising money in something that he started doing since the pandemic broke, started running, and he is going to be running a marathon. Good for him. He hasn't run it yet.
Yeah.
But I'm still saying good for him.
It sounds like he's an avid runner, just doing a little background on it. And everybody, I think, Dave, dealt with the lockdowns differently. But I think it affected everybody to some extent. And one of the things I think we'll get into with Chris, how he dealt with more time on his hands and staying home, was he made it a point to go out and run every day. And that's
right.
One of the
things... he was not doing it in Florida. So, like, okay,
no.
It can get pretty hot in June and July because I run. You know I run. If you're going out in June and July, if you're going to go for any kind of distance, you better go out either pretty early or pretty late. In Toronto, where Chris is from, it's a different dynamic. It's great to go running in June. Not so great to go running in December, necessarily. So I'm curious how he handled the weather challenges, because I'm presuming that gyms were not open. Or if they were open, it was limited, right?
I don't even know if they're open in Canada now.
Yeah, and I guess we'll ask him that question. So yeah. I'm guessing he did most of his work either outside or if he owned a treadmill and did it at home. But good on him. And he's raising money for – related to the pandemic, do you understand what his charity is? I guess I should have done a little bit more research on it ahead
of
time.
Yeah, so it's called Conquer COVID-19, and I think it's to raise money basically – for the frontline workers.
Oh, that's great.
You know, the healthcare workers who are out there, you know, dealing with that. And I think that was a way for him to kind of give back. And anything you can do to make that terrible situation a positive one goes a long way. So kudos to him. We're going to talk to him in about, you know, 5-10 minutes about not only that, because it's very important, but what is the deal for the NHL mean with ESPN. We're also going to get into the Lightning. I talked about Elliot Friedman's 31 Thoughts, had a nugget in there regarding the Tampa Bay Lightning. And of course, Dave, the Lightning ending this road trip against the Red Wings tonight with an opportunity to really put a exclamation point on what's been a pretty successful road trip. And it's amazing when you take a look at the standings right now. I mean, the Central Division is competitive, and the Lightning have played a couple of less games than some of the teams behind them. But, you know, the Panthers, to their credit, hanging tight. You know, we talked about Chicago, who we just saw, new and improved, and they're playing some pretty good hockey. And
not the other night against Dallas, though.
No, they had a clunker there for sure. And Carolina, you always know, is going to be right there. They've won six in a row. So it's shaping up to be a pretty tight division. And so these games against Detroit, even though they're not very good, we saw them the other day, they play hard. You have to take them seriously because those are a valuable 2 points if you can get them when you start talking about this division and how competitive it's been.
What is it that Brian Engblom has said to you already this year?
Basically,
even the worst team,
they're not
going
to lose every game.
Yeah, the worst yeah. team in the league, whether it's Detroit or some other team,
right.
They're not going to go 0-56. They're going to win some nights, and they're going to take points away from other teams, and you want to make sure you are not that team. Tyler Johnson's quote that Steve played at the top of the show is interesting because, I mean, we've heard this expression before, good teams find a way to win. But I always add, good teams don't put themselves in a position often where they have to find ways to win. So the Lightning have now won two games in which they've trailed after two periods, and it's come on this road trip, these two games, the game in Chicago, the first game in that three-game set, and then the game on Tuesday in Detroit. And we try and be very clear-eyed and fair in our assessment of how the Lightning are playing on a particular night, usually the day after, or kind of as a trend line might go. But keep in mind, Greg, the Lightning are 2-4 in games that they have trailed after two periods. So what that says to me is they played, what, 24 games?
Yes.
They've only trailed after two periods six times this year. So they have not put themselves in a position where they have had to, quote unquote, find ways to win often, at least as it relates to that stat, where you're down going into the third period. Now, maybe they've had some dips at other points in games, or maybe in a third period where they're up, they've still been able to win. But that is a very impressive stat to this point, that they have not put themselves in a position where they are having to rally from a deficit going into the third period very often.
It's a good point. And, you know, we talked about Tyler Johnson at the beginning there, his role with this team and how good they have looked the last couple of games. And it's something I want to talk to Chris about as well. Why don't we do this? Let's take a break. We're getting some tweets coming in too about the ESPN deal. Get those coming in at Bolts Radio. He is Dave Mishkin. I am Greg Linnelli. Chris Johnston from Sportsnet, should be a good one, is up next as we get you set for Lightning and Red Wings tonight on Lightning Power Play.
This is Power Lunch, exclusively on Lightning Power Play on the iHeartRadio app.
All right, so glad you're with us here. Got a game tonight, Lightning and Red Wings, but a lot happening around the National Hockey League. Greg Linnelli with you, along with Dave Mishkin, Steve Ersnick producing. And joining us right now, he is a senior hockey writer for Sportsnet. He does amazing work there. We're going to get into the story he broke when it came to ESPN and the NHL coming to an agreement. He's also running a marathon on April 29th to help raise funds for the charitable organization Conquer COVID-19. Let's welcome Chris Johnston back to the program. Chris, great to be with you. So much to get to. Let's start, though, with Conquer COVID-19, because this pandemic, I think, has impacted everyone on some level. I actually think getting outside and staying active is one of the best therapies in dealing with this pandemic. You did that, but you took it a step further. Who does Conquer COVID-19 help, and why did you get involved?
Well, it's actually kind of a cool charity. It's just a group of people here around the Toronto area where I live that when the pandemic first hit, you know, they didn't wait to figure out a strategy or, try to make the perfect plan. They just went to work. And initially what they were focused on was getting enough PPE supplies, you know, N95 masks and the like, and getting them in the hands of, you know, whether it's homeless shelters or places that could use them, because of course there was a shortage, you know, about this time last year when this first arrived. And they've continued on now and have focused on trying to help some of the people in our community around Toronto here that, you know, aren't getting enough food, that have been cut off from ways to make money, because obviously there's been a pretty big business impact up here. So, you know, they sort of inspired me in some ways just by that they went right to action right last March. And as I say, just a group of volunteers that have day jobs and kids and lives and you know, found a way to make a difference. You know, as it pertains to me specifically, I, you know, when it came to about last April, I was in a bit of a funk. You know, the my normal job sees me travel around the NHL pretty much constantly. All of a sudden, you know, March 11th of last year, we see the last slate of games and everything stopped. And so my world stopped too. You know, I think we all probably, for various reasons, whether it's health or financial, you know, had concerns at that time. And I kind of got in a bit of a rut. And so, you know, one of the ways I got to work my way out of it is I just said, you know what, I'm going to do a run every single day. Just whatever I have, doesn't matter how fast it is. And if I can accomplish nothing else on that day, I can at least feel good about that. And I actually just finished my run today. I think it was my 316th straight day. And so as we come up to a year here, I'm going to run a marathon. I'm talking about this a little bit and helping raise some funds for that COVID Conquer COVID charity.
Well, quite an accomplishment, Chris. And I will share a personal anecdote with you, because I also am a runner. I have not run every day going back almost a year, but I do run regularly. And in fact, I have run a marathon. Those days are behind me now for a variety of reasons. But I actually signed up for two marathons. And in Florida, of course, the marathons are not happening in the summer. They're happening more in the winter, which meant that I was doing a lot of the training in season, which was very challenging to make sure I got enough rest, etc. But when you train for a marathon, you know, you are upping your mileage and you're putting a strain on your body. And what I found was that the marathon I ran was very challenging, but almost equally challenging was the training. And the reason I signed up for two and only ran one was near the end of the training session of the first marathon, I got injured. And it was a mild injury, but it was significant enough that I was not going to be able to run 26 miles. So the next year I signed up for another one and I tried to be much more careful in training. And what happened on that one, I got another minor injury, but I was able to, it was more in the middle of the training. So I rested, got well, was healthy for the start of the marathon, but found in retrospect that really I had undertrained because I had to take the time off to get healthy. And therefore, like the second half of the marathon was very difficult. And I look back on it and say, yeah, I probably was not fit enough based on the fact that I had to take the time off. So my question for you is, like, congrats on the streak of running and the training. How have you found the training, though? Because, again, based on my experience, that was maybe not as challenging as actually running 26 miles, but pretty challenging. How has it gone for you?
Well, I think someone who knows more about this than I do would say I haven't gone about this the right way, because, you know, I'm actually running the marathon 7 weeks today. It's only in the last week here I've committed to doing this. Now, obviously, I've been doing all those runs I mentioned, but I haven't run as much long distance as probably a true marathon training schedule would call for. But, you know, I actually feel really good. You know, basically what I do is I run 6 miles every single day, and then on Sundays, I've been doing a little bit more, you know, 8, 9, 10, 12 sometimes. I've done a few half marathons. You know, that's what I've basically been doing for the last year. So I've got a fair amount of mileage under my legs, but I haven't been running for 4 hours consecutively or anywhere near that, you know, as I'm going to have to do.
Not recommended, by the way.
So,
if you've seen any of the training programs, Chris, you shouldn't be running 26 or for 4 hours straight anyway. So you're on. I actually think that that's a really smart way to do it, the way you've set it up for yourself.
Well, and as I say, I've fallen backwards into this because that's what I just described to you is what I was doing on my own as part of, you know, feeling better. And I've enjoyed actually just having the kind of the commitment to it, the regular routine of it. And it's treated me well, knock wood. I haven't had any injuries. I feel better. I used to be a runner 10 years ago. I feel better than I felt 10 years ago with regards to my running. So, I've lost some weight, and so that makes it easier, but it's going to be a struggle that day. Like there's no question, you know, you get to like 16 or 17 miles and you're feeling pretty good, but then you're like, oh, I got 10 more to do. So, it's going to be a challenge for me, but that's kind of the point too.
You power through it, no doubt. Chris, before I ask, we get into this NHL ESPN deal that you did break the other day, where can people donate if they wanted to help out with this cause? Is there a website they can go to for Conquer COVID-19?
Yep, it's just conquercovid19.ca, or alternately, I did tweet about this on my Twitter feed, Reporter Chris, and it's pinned right at the top. So if anyone wants to find it, they can find it through those two ways.
Sweet. Very cool. Well, as we said before, you've been really busy, and you broke that story the other day. It's actually where I first saw it, the NHL and the ESPN coming to an agreement starting next year. You take the best deal I think you can get, especially in these crazy times, Chris. But as I combed through the articles and the actual deal, was the streaming component of this agreement the most important in many ways moving forward?
Well, from ESPN side of things, I think, you know, it's pretty clear that that was the case. You know, that they feel this, you know, one of the interesting things I found is that they say that the NHL actually scores really well. And I didn't know this when it comes to the younger demographic in terms of interest and engagement. And, you know, that's one thing that drew ESPN back to the property. And I think one of the reasons why they put such an emphasis on streaming is people younger than you and I, Greg and Dave, are going to be watching more and more on streaming services, you know, and obviously we use them as well. And so, you know, the way the NHL chose to handle this, you know, is once they decided it wasn't going to be, you know, one entity buying up the entire rights deal, which is what NBC has had here for the last number of years, you know, they decided to focus on creating a package that would satisfy the number one or the A package, we might call it, that ESPN has just bought. And I think a lot of it was dictated by, you know, what ESPN wanted, where it could find value in the deal. And then obviously the league has kept back some things, including three of the seven Stanley Cup finals to sell in the second package that it's, you know, endeavoring to get to work on now. So, you know, it's such a sort of a complicated time, I suppose, in the media landscape, because, you know, you're not just selling a straight TV rights deal the way you might have done in the past. There's a lot more offshoots to it. And you know, I think that the streaming, it was a big draw for ESPN, you know, but as a result of that, they're going to get four of the Cup finals on ABC as well. So there still is a sort of linear, traditional TV broadcast aspect to it too.
Let's look at this from the consumer standpoint. So our listeners presumably are Lightning fans. For a Tampa Bay Lightning fan starting next year, how can Lightning fans get the games that are on ESPN or one of these streaming services that may not be on the regional sports network, whether they have cable or don't have cable? And for a Lightning fan that may want to watch out of market games, maybe they want to watch Vegas and Colorado, what options would they have?
Some of this is admittedly beyond my pay grade, in large part because, you know, living in Canada, we have kind of a different setup with the way this all works. But my understanding generally is that, you know, essentially ESPN Plus will replace what is now NHL.tv in the sense that you can pretty much get almost every game on there. But I don't think you would be getting the local games. And that's, you know, I'm going to need maybe your guys' help too, because I don't really understand how that goes.
That is how it goes.
Now where the Lightning could play a game and people wouldn't have access to it locally, or?
Well, they would get it on. They would get it on our regional Fox Sports Sun, which is going to become Bally Sports shortly.
Right.
But they need to access it there.
Still be the case.
Even though that some of these regular season games I was reading are going to be exclusive to ESPN.
Yeah, and that's a small number. Was it 75, I believe?
Okay.
So you might have a couple games, you know, look, the Lightning are one of the glamour teams in the league. I would expect that they would want to be spotlighted in those national games, but still probably only a couple games a year that you would need to either get them through the ESPN or ESPN Plus.
And if somebody then does not have cable, their option would be to stream through ESPN Plus or Hulu, correct?
Correct. Yes, that's right. So, you know, I think it will serve the fans well. I mean, so much of this is a little bit of an unknown too, because, you know, this package wasn't exactly what I would have expected. I'll say quite candidly, even just that it's only 75 regular season exclusive games on linear TV. But, you know, now I'm curious to see what this B package looks like, because it's not totally clear to me, other than the fact that there's Stanley Cup finals and, you know, some clear playoff things that have been carved out for the next package. I don't know, you know, where all the details will fall there either.
Chris, last question for me on the deal. ESPN, like most things, they're not the same company they were back in 2004. Change does happen. Does ESPN, from the people you talk to, still carry the same swag they had maybe 20 years ago? And what are the challenges, you think, for them as they look to cover hockey now on a regular basis to gain maybe that credibility back?
Well, that's certainly a bit of an X factor to the deal from the NHL side of things. You know, I think that there's a belief, in addition to the money and all, you know, the obvious benefits of this contract that the league's entered, that they feel this is going to increase their relevancy in kind of the sporting landscape in your country. And you know, maybe give them a better way to get their sport in front of people that don't already, you know, haven't already been exposed to it and aren't already diehards. And, you know, well, I guess that remains to be seen. I mean, every relationship starts with people saying the right things. And you know, I was on the conference call yesterday with the ESPN executive and Gary Bettman, and, you know, it sounds great. And, you know, you're dreaming of this perfect relationship, but I think the true test will come in, you know, do you see hockey discussed in some of their ancillary programming? Does it get a more prominent place on SportsCenter? You know, what do they do digitally? You know, they've got to find couple writers and Emily Kaplan and Greg Wyshynski, but do they beef up their coverage online, and do they, you know, ultimately get more exposure from the partnership? And you know, if that happens, I do think that it's probably as good a bet as any. You rightly point out, I think it's a way more fractured universe now. It's not the media landscape we grew up with, where you just flip through the channels and land on a show. I mean, there's a lot more different entities competing for our attention, but you know, I still think ESPN carries a lot of clout in the sports world. And, you know, I think the league's been hurt, quite frankly, on some level by not having a deal with them, you know, for the last 15 or 16 years, whatever it's been. And you know, it's hard for me to see this as anything other than a positive step forward for the NHL.
I have one final question on the TV side, and then we'll move to other topics, Chris. So at least as it relates to the playoffs, half of the pie is going to ESPN. They're getting one of the conference finals exclusively. They're getting half of the first two rounds exclusively. And then they're getting four out of the next seven Stanley Cup final series exclusively. What is the other half of that pie going to look like? Is it going to be one other network entity? Is it going to be multiple? What does your Spidey sense tell you about that?
It sounds like they're approaching it as though it'll be one other network entity. And, you know, NBC is very much still in conversation with the league to retain some portion of these rights and to potentially be that partner. Although, you know, I do know as of right now that there's no deal. It's not as though that's a fait accompli. They just got to, you know, work through a couple legalese items and sign the papers. You know, I think that it's still very much an open negotiation. You know, Fox Sports has been part of those discussions. What my spidey sense tells me is there might be a mystery sort of third bidder, but I don't know who it is, quite frankly. But I do think, you know, what you're going to see when that deal is announced or completed is it's going to be one of those entities. And then there's going to be a smaller third streaming aspect. And I don't know, again, how that's exactly going to look. But you know, I think you might see another small deal with streaming to another company. But you know, predominantly now the focus for the league is on figuring out if it's NBC rather or one of these other networks that they're you know, basically carving out the rest of the TV package to.
Chris Johnson from Sportsnet joins us here on Power Lunch on Lightning Power Play. Chris, let's get to some hockey on ice here. And the Lightning, boy, they continue to roll. Nikita Kucherov in the lineup. Repeating is hard, but is this what a great team looks like in this parity-driven league, what the Lightning are doing?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, look, I maybe locally you guys have had this conversation, but there wasn't even time nationally for everyone to wonder, is there a hangover for the championship? You know, is this team going to be able to find kind of the necessary emotional level to get through a regular season after everything they encountered and overcame in the bubbles over the summertime and then, you know, ultimately winning that cup. I mean, looks to me from afar that they really have not, you know, they haven't dropped anything. And you know, there's some reason for that. Their star players have been performing well, obviously. You know, Andrei Vasilevsky is getting a little bit of love, you know, even for the Hart Trophy conversation, I think, as we're kind of approaching the midseason.
Don't even bring that up to Greg. He has been riding that horse for 3 weeks.
Well, I started to hear it. You know, I did a podcast yesterday. It's becoming, you know, it's not just a low-key Twitter point. I'm seeing people discuss it a little bit more earnestly. Look, if anyone is going to win a bunch of cups in this generation, I think it's the core of that team. You know, I look around at the other, you know, top level elite teams, whatever you want to call them in the league. And I feel like they all have question marks at, you know, at a key position or with the way their roster is composed. And not to say everything's perfect with the Lightning, but my goodness, having that elite of a goaltender, having an elite of a defenseman as Victor Hedman is, and then having the roster of forwards they do, and especially once we contemplate Kucherov coming back and hopefully, getting up to speed and being, the version of himself we've all come to know. I mean, I just don't think anybody league-wide can compete with that composition of a roster. So, it's still a sport with luck, and, lots of things can happen over the course of the playoffs as the Lightning know from their years trying to climb to that Stanley Cup with these players. But, I certainly see a group that's capable, if not winning again this year, we're going to be talking about how good they are next year again, too. I don't see where the fall-off comes in, while these guys are all still in their primes.
One other thing that came out of the Gary Bettman press conference yesterday, in addition to the news about the ESPN deal, that news was that the cap is going to be flat, which is not a huge surprise moving into next year. I guess I'm wondering, do you feel that this new TV package, which will include ESPN and then some other entity, which is going to be more than what they had previously, could that change the forecast in terms of the cap beyond next year? Because I think we were under the assumption, Chris, that the cap was going to stay flat, or if it went up very, very small amount for the foreseeable future. Do you think this lucrative television deal in all of its different components could accelerate that process a little bit?
Well, I think that's the hope. I mean, every little bit helps here. Probably, though, the biggest driver of what the landscape looks like is, what does the league look like next season? Are we having most of the teams have most of their buildings full or not for most of the season? I can tell you up here in Canada, the restrictions are still pretty tight. I don't believe we're going to have fans in any of the Canadian arenas, before the end of the season. I hope I'm wrong. It's good for business. It's more fun to be in the atmosphere like that. It's good for the fans and the people, but what will probably dictate, how quickly we want to say the league's business gets close to normal and the cap can rise and all that stuff. This TV component is big. Having Seattle enter the league and what I think will be a real shot in the arm financially, interest-wise, I think that's going to be a good thing for the league and an opportunity for them, obviously, to generate more revenue. But, the real difference maker is half of the league's business comes either directly or indirectly from fans and arenas and people attending games. And so, what that looks like is probably the most important question business-wise for the NHL. In simple terms, for anyone out there that isn't following the way that the new deal is structured for the collective bargaining agreement, is throughout this pandemic, the owners have paid the players more than their share of the pie, because the pie is pretty small these days. There's not a lot of money being made. And the players have to pay that back, sort of repay those debts, balance the books before the cap can rise in meaningful ways again. And so this TV deal will help them do that, but it's going to be more than that. They've accrued a pretty big debt collectively, just because the business is shouldering on through tough times. Probably like the restaurant down the street from me that's trying to stay open with just takeout, but it hasn't had real business in a year. You're accruing debt while doing that, but you're hoping that there's better days on the other side. And I hope the TV deal ultimately helps the league do that here in the next year, 2-3 years.
Chris, last question for everything here. When we start talking about the rest of the league, you're obviously close to the North Division there with all the Canadian teams. For you personally, have you had to do a lot more checking in with, other broadcasters, other beat reporters to get an idea of how competitive, how good some of these other teams are in other divisions because of kind of the bubble we're living in? And how good is the North Division? Because there's a couple of Atlantic Division teams there, Toronto and Montreal, that we would see on a regular basis that are having pretty good seasons, but we're just not sure, based off of the competition, how good they really are.
It's a tough one to answer that, your second point here. And I think I'd say that for almost all the divisions. I can tell you the teams I think are, have a chance to win the cup that are the best teams in the league. And there's, one or two pretty much spread through each of the four divisions. But, until we get to that conference final and see, Tampa potentially have to play a Vegas or a Colorado or Toronto, it's really hard to say with any definitive way, who the best is. I mean, I think the Lightning are a safe bet, given the success they've had in every alignment that we've seen in the last 5 or 6 years. But it's tough to measure. I think the Leafs, what works for them, and that's a team I spent a lot of time around, is they've finally got a defensive style of play that is yielding some of these results. That, you know, it's not just that they're outscoring teams in what is the highest scoring division in hockey. They've actually encountered a pretty brutal 3-game losing streak here, but they haven't had anything like that to this point in the season. And, you know, they're up among the top teams in shots against and goals against, which is, you know, not where they've ever been before. I think they're trying to copy a little bit what you saw, you know, the Lightning's evolution from a team that always was among the top scoring teams, but had to maybe get more comfortable winning tight games, you know, especially when it came to playoff time. You know, as for how I cover the league, it's been weird. You know, I won't deny that. Especially early on, I felt like I was binge watching like a series on Netflix or something. You know, there was basically a North Division game every night that I could watch. You know, some of these teams, even though they're Canadian teams, especially the ones out in Western Canada, I don't really know that well. In a normal NHL season, I'm not around them a lot, or I don't spend as much time watching them. But, you know, I really binged. I found like the first 4 weeks of the year because, you know, you really only had seven teams to monitor. You know, I found I got a little bit sick of just the same seven teams, and maybe I was recognizing the problem in that. So I do watch a lot of games now more around the league, but, you know, I don't have the same feel just because I'm not going into those arenas. We're not seeing everyone play everyone, but, you know, it's a one-off year. You know, I would expect next season, you know, it's going to look a little bit more like what we're used to. Although, you know, quite frankly, we might see this North Division live one more season, depending what the travel rules are with Canada. It might not be possible to cross back and forth across the border without quarantine still come the fall.
Mm. It's fascinating to watch all this develop. I think we're just all glad hockey is back, no doubt, and we'll see how it continues to play out. Chris, great job breaking the most recent stories here. We always enjoy having you on, and best of luck, too, with the marathon, and hopefully you guys raise as much money as possible.
Thank you. I really appreciate it, and I hope the Sail Tiki Bar is staying in business without me down there visiting every couple of weeks.
Thanks, all right, Chris.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
See you guys.
All right, and don't forget, too, that charitable organization that he's helping is called Conquer COVID-19. And, you know, Dave, running marathons are – I've done one, and that's when I was earlier. And I tell you, running those hills –
Pittsburgh's marathon, you need to be ready for some hills.
Well, you know what it was, too? It was like – and you guys are right. Once you get to, like, the 18th or 19th mile, you're going downhill, and your legs are killing. I had to walk a little bit just because it was too painful. But anybody who runs one, props to you, because not everybody can say they have. And when you're doing it for a cause, I've seen some people run the marathons, Dave, with like a backpack on, with like an American flag, and those things are heavy. And I'm like, man, kudos to you, because that is that's tough even when you don't have anything draped on your back.
You need to enjoy running. I think that's part of it. Like my wife, for example, she works out, but she does not enjoy running.
Right.
How can you do it? I'm like, I like it. I like going outside. I like being outside when the team is traveling and I get to travel with the team. I like running around different cities safely, of course. I mean, sometimes you're in, you know, a city where you're dealing with stoplights and making sure that you're getting from point A to point B safely. But usually in these cities, you can find paths, whether it's along a body of water, like in Pittsburgh, or go across a bridge in Pittsburgh, or maybe a running trail. And it's not for everybody, but I find that it's a very low maintenance. By low maintenance, I mean, like, you just need a pair of sneakers, basically.
That's true.
And you can just go out and do it. You don't need a lot of fancy equipment or anything.
It's therapeutic,
like that.
Too. It's good.
And
to clear,
you know, I listen to music, or I listen to podcasts, or, you know, I'll listen back to our show, you know, which Steve puts on SoundCloud, or even just, you know, if it's re-airing later in the day, I'll listen and be amazed at all the incredibly insightful things that you say.
I was going to say, a couple times you have to catch your breath and be like, my goodness, that was
I know.
Phenomenal.
It gives me an extra burst of energy when you make a particularly insightful point. But I fully acknowledge that it's not for everyone. And even for the people who do enjoy running, marathon running is not for everyone. But for some people, it is. And for those people who can do it with a backpack on, more power to them.
Yeah. No, for sure. You guys keep doing what you're doing. But, you know, I think the main thing, too, last point on the whole COVID stuff in the pandemic, One thing we all can agree on, I know doctors and medical officials have talked about, just staying active, you know, trying to stay in shape during this, because it does, the virus does have a tendency to attack people who are overweight. And I think, you know, so many people were inside, you couldn't go to the gym, that a lot of people were like, look, I'll even just go for a walk.
Yeah.
You know, if I can.
And exercise does help. It is, I think, been shown that it can help with mental health.
Absolutely.
If you're feeling down, exercise.
Get out there and move
around. And it's not a panacea, but it can help.
It can help for sure. So kudos to Chris for that. We always appreciate having him on, and one of the better reporters out there for sure, breaking those stories. If you want to react to anything that Chris had to say, you can at Bolts Radio. Bob chimes in about the ESPN deal, Dave. I thought this was pretty funny. He says, let's hope that Barry Melrose is not going to be the ESPN analyst for the network and that they get some of the NBC guys. I think some of that remains to be seen. I confess, I haven't watched ESPN too much over the last few years. I know Barry Melrose is a fixture there, and I've got to think he will continue to be. It doesn't mean he'll be, you know, the guy that you're going for when it comes to, you know, hard-hitting analysis. I think most people understand what Barry Melrose is at this point. He's a figurehead, and he commands an audience, and some people like tuning into him. I'm going to be curious to see, Dave, who ESPN will hire to do games, because what made ESPN enjoyable for me during their hockey period, and I know he's been trending on Twitter, was, you know, Gary Thorne and Bill Clement was, I thought, always a fun, entertaining duo.
Gary Thorne is a tremendous hockey play-by-play announcer, but he has not done hockey unless he pulled some side jobs here and there, maybe, because ESPN had the Frozen Four. I think it still do, actually. But I don't believe that Gary Thorne has called an NHL game since that Stanley Cup final between the Lightning and Flames. So he's been away from it for a while. He does baseball. He does the Orioles, right?
I know he used to.
In the Baltimore area?
Yeah. I mean, that was his team.
I'm very versatile announcer. But look, there's always an element of subjectivity to this. Personally, I've always loved hearing Gary Thorne call games, but who knows? Like, it's not a direct comparison, but I think it's informative. When you look at the big shift that happened in Canada, when was it, 6-7 years ago, when that national hockey package, and this is in Canada, so this was a huge deal, went from TSN to Sportsnet. It's not like everybody at TSN just went to Sportsnet and started doing the games. Now, Dave Randorf did. I think Dave told me, because I knew he made the switch from TSN to Sportsnet, Rogers. I didn't know if it happened when the hockey package moved, and I think I understand that he did. So he was a guy that was basically recruited and went to do these national games. But, you know, Sportsnet had its own people, too.
Yeah, right.
Now, in the U.S., what we have seen, at least as it relates to NBC, they have leaned a lot on team announcers. So, yes, John Forslund does a lot of NBC games, and right now he is not affiliated with a specific team, although he will be going to Seattle next year. But for years, as we know, you know, he did the Carolina games, and he would also do NBC games. The same is true for Kenny Albert, who does Rangers games and does NBC. Mike Emmerich, when he went to NBC as the lead announcer, he was no longer with a team, but I unless I'm mistaken, when he started doing games nationally, he was still affiliated first with the Flyers and then with the Devils, because he was the Devils announcer
for
a number of years. So maybe ESPN will go that route, but there's no guarantee that they're going to choose the same announcers, even though they are NHL announcers for specific teams currently working nationally. There's no guarantee that it's going to be the exact same people. The analyst situation is a little bit different. So you think about whether it's Pierre Maguire or Brian Boucher. I mean, they're the two main ones. Eddie Olczyk works for the Hawks, but those analysts are not affiliated with a specific team. So they may go to ESPN. Who knows? But that's ESPN's choice. And then there's this other network. So it's possible, like Chris said, NBC keeps some games. And maybe they keep the same announcers that are working for NBC. But I feel pretty confident saying that the same announcer is not going to be calling games for the ESPN broadcast as this other network, like calling for both networks. I think it's going to be a stable of announcers for the ESPN games, and then whatever the other network or networks look like, those are going to be separate announcers. I may be wrong about that, but that would be my expectation.
I find it fascinating. That's one of the first things people talk about. I mean, that immediately came up, Dave, on Twitter about, you know, the announcers. In many ways, it speaks to how impactful good announcing is, because a lot of people, when you grow up watching a sport, heck, you know, I've told you this before with my folks in Pittsburgh, it was, you know, Bob Prince and Mike Lang and Myron Cope. And on a national perspective, you know, Howard Cosell or whomever it may be. But one of the first things that came to mind for people was, let's hire Gary Thorne. Some of it was Steve Levy. They just,
and Steve's done
nostalgia.
Steve has done some of those Frozen Fours for sure.
I'm wondering, it's purely hypothetical, but how big of a decision do you think that is going to be for ESPN to make sure you get the announcers right? I think you're right. People are going to tune into the game more so than the broadcaster, but there is something to be said for having somebody who calls a nice game. We mentioned a couple, but I've got to think that's going to be one of the interesting conversations that are going to be done, because we know Monday Night Football at times, they tried to recreate what they had before, and they've gone through some broadcasting teams. I'm talking about the NFL for Monday Night Football before they're kind of settling on who they want. But in many ways, I feel like that is a sneaky big decision that they'll have to make, you know, pretty soon.
And it's one they've made before. I mean, ESPN has been around a while, and they have assigned announcers to different sports, whether it's college football, college basketball, NFL, as you mentioned. Certainly, when they had hockey some 16-plus years ago and beyond, Chief did games, as did Brian Engblom. They both worked for ESPN, too.
We need to find footage of Chief. Back in the day,
he said he did the games on ESPN2. Remember ESPN2?
I remember ESPN3.
Yeah, I don't think they had hockey, but they put a lot of their NHL games. The main kind of the featured game that might be once a week or something, that was on the mothership, as it was called, the main network. But a lot of the other games, like if they had a doubleheader, let's say, you know, they would put on a Monday, they would put those games on ESPN2. And I know that both Chief and Brian did games on that network.
That's incredible. Yeah, because
but my point is that the people at ESPN, even if it's not the same people that were making this decision 20 years ago, that's what they're paid to do. So yeah. I think they will make an informed decision about how they're going to fill these roles.
And if not, people on Twitter will let them know.
Well, and look, so Chris made the point. I think it was 75 games. Is that right? During the regular season?
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a lot of playoff games. But it's not going to be the same frequency of schedule as, say, college basketball. Now, again, I'm like you. I don't really watch ESPN. But when I did pay attention to ESPN more regularly, it felt like during the college basketball season, the regular season, they basically had a game on every night. Maybe mm-hmm. I'm not remembering that right.
Yeah.
This is a different situation because it's not going to be a game every night in the NHL. So that means that the announcer that you're bringing in either is somebody who maybe already works for ESPN and is doing other games and other sports, and you're bringing that person or people in to supplement their schedule, but fill in some of these 75 regular season games. And if I'm saying the number wrong, I apologize, folks. It's not like I committed the press release to memory, but suffice it to say, there is going to be a lot more hockey on ESPN during the playoffs in terms of frequency of games than during the regular season. Then whatever the number is, basically I'm saying it's not going to be like a regular job for the announcers that are doing these games. So either that means the announcer is doing other sports and works for ESPN, or they work for a team. They work for an NHL team, which is kind of the formula that NBC used a lot.
Yeah.
So that announcer or announcers are calling games most of the time for the team that they work for. They're calling games for that team. But then maybe, you know, once every 2 weeks or once every 10 days, they're going to Minnesota to call, I don't know, Colorado and Minnesota on a Thursday night or something like that.
It's interesting, no doubt. And we're glad we had Chris on to talk about it. And if you have any questions about it, hit us up on Twitter, at Bolts Radio. Lastly, Dave, we'll get into the Elliott Freeman 31 thoughts maybe tomorrow. But the Lightning and Red Wings do have a game tonight. It is the last game of this six-game road trip. And sometimes those can always be a little interesting. You know, it's a long road trip. The team is excited to get back home over the weekend. It's going to be a big weekend for sure. So you want to make sure you don't overlook a game like this. Not that the Lightning would, but an opportunity to pick up a couple of more points here, as we said at the beginning of the show, and continue their surge getting into the playoffs. But I'll be interested to see how the Lightning do come out to start this game. You know, do they have their legs? Do they have that killer instinct approach? And Detroit, you've got to think they want to atone for what happened in their previous game.
I saw a line from one of the Detroit publications, one of their writers, maybe it was a headline. So it was this morning and I didn't have time yet to read it. I'm going to read it this afternoon. But it referenced the second period was Detroit's best period of the year. It didn't say it exactly those terms, but basically that's what the headline or the sub headline implied. So if you're Detroit, you're taking the positive out of Tuesday. You're saying we just had our best period of the year, maybe one of our best periods of the year against the defending Stanley Cup champs. Let's build on it. I don't think that motivation is going to be an issue for the Red Wings tonight. Will it be for the Lightning? It is the end of a long trip. Long trip both in terms of games played and days away from home. And, you know, the Lightning, I think it's unreasonable to expect that the Lightning are going to treat this game like a playoff game, right? Like, we've seen some of their opponents treat games against them, notably that first meeting between the Panthers and Lightning back game 12 for the Lightning. The Panthers came into that game and played as though that were a playoff game. Are we going to see that tonight from the Lightning? I would be surprised if we saw exactly that type of intensity and urgency from the Lightning. But they can't go in the other direction. And I think that you want to see a level, steady, solid performance from Tampa Bay, understanding that their opponent has always played them hard. I know it's been 20 regular season games, the Lightning 19-0-1 during those 20 regular season games, throw in a playoff series victory during that stretch as well. The 2016 first round series, the Lightning won that series in five. So during that time, going back to whatever it was, February of 2016, the Lightning have only lost two games total to Detroit. One was in a playoff series and the other was in the shootout. That was the streak-ending win the Red Wings had last March, basically almost a year ago to the day, the second to last game the Lightning played before they paused the season. So you know what you're going to get from Detroit, because the Lightning have gotten that regularly from Detroit, even though they have prevailed in every game but two, including the playoff series, going back more than 5 years. So you should be ready for that and ready to handle it. And try and take – you use the term, Greg. I like it. Take care of business. Let's see if the Lightning can take care of business tonight. And they should be amped. You would expect they would be amped for the Saturday game.
Yep.
With the banner getting raised, 3,800 fans in the building. I know they've had the 500 in the building, so it's not like it's been zero. But I would expect that to have some effect on the Lightning in terms of their investment, their emotional investment in the game. It may be hard to find that tonight, but that still doesn't mean that you can just throw your sticks out on the ice. Clearly, they need to come out with a workmanlike performance tonight if they hope to keep the streak going, the point streak going against the Red Wings.
It's good stuff. We're going to have coverage starting at 6:30. Brian Burns and Kaylee Chelio. 7 o'clock, the pregame. And then at 7:30, Dave Michigan has the call. And I believe, is Phil
game
tonight? Phil, the Hall of Fame.
Phil is with me.
He'll be with
tonight.
You. And let's hope
as these home games coming up.
And let's hope the horn doesn't go off because yeah. Phil will have a field day with that.
Yeah, he would not be a happy camper.
No, he wouldn't.
Dave, I think they've corrected. I think they've corrected that problem.
Let's hope somebody make sure they test it before the game begins. Great job, Dave. We'll do it again tomorrow, noon to one. But I'll talk to you tonight.
To you tonight. Thanks, Greg.
Got it, Dave Michigan. There. Thanks to Steve Versnick, who produced outstanding job as always. Want to thank Chris Johnston from Sportsnet. Hope you enjoyed that interview. You can probably listen to the show again throughout the day and get that interview as well. Very informative, and we always appreciate his expertise. I'm Greg Linelli. We'll be with you again tomorrow, noon to one. Of course, tonight. Listen to the game right here on Lightning Power Play.